Well, last week I started talking about why we should trust God. Okay, let's turn to the scripture, John chapter 14. And as you're turning there, I'm just going to pray. Father, we thank you today for this lesson. We thank you for your word. It's so precious to us. Thank you for giving us your word, Lord. And through it, we learn about you. We understand you, Father. We just love you. And we learn who we are, what belongs to us, what our authority is. We learn about how much you love us and what you've done for us, Lord. It just gives us wisdom and understanding, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, in John 14, verse 1, it says, we read the scripture yesterday. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Okay. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. But Jesus, here in verse 1, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. And then he says, trust in God. Okay? And then he says, also, trust also in me. Okay? See, there's just this huge, huge trust issue. Okay? Jesus says, trust in God and trust, and also trust in me. Okay? And this is a huge, huge issue with a lot of Christians about really trusting God, okay? We talked about, just kind of reviewing a little bit, we started off talking about why we should trust God. And we got, originally in the beginning, we talked about that God was a good God, okay? That's one of the first things you need to know, is that God is a good God. We went back to Genesis, and every time God did something or made something, he said, and God saw that it was good. Remember, we all said good, and we just kept going there, and it said, and God said it was good, you know? And so that's one of the neat things, is that God is a good God. Amen? He's not a bad God. He's not looking to hurt you or do something. He's a good God, and everything he did and created really was for us. You know, he doesn't need this earth. You know what I mean? He has no problems. He's the master of the universe, right? He made this world for us, and it's a fantastic world. And everything about him was good. And so, for starters, that's a good thing. Amen. I kind of want to trust somebody that I know is good. Amen. That's not evil. That's not looking to hurt me or stab me in the back or, you know, kneecap me, you know, when the things get, you know, I'm looking at the fact that God is good and holy and true and faithful. His word stands. I feel like, man, I can trust somebody like that, right? And the thing about it is sometimes we have to blindly trust God, okay? But that's why some of these guys in the Old Testament were really so fantastic. They did not have Bibles. They did not have scriptures like we do, okay? Some of them just set out and, you know, at the time, they just had to trust God, right? And they didn't have the Bible. But see, we can look back on God's track record. We can see the things that he's done and how he has been faithful. And we can see the difference between the people that trusted God, right, and the people who didn't, that just they had contempt for God. They were just determined to go on in their evil ways. And we kind of got into Noah, because this whole thing about Noah is really significant for this time and day, this age we live in, because Jesus said, talking about the rapture and the end times, he said it will be just as in the days of Noah. This thing with Noah is huge. So you begin to say, well, Jesus said it's just in the days of Noah. Well, an inquisitive mind, if you're really searching, you start going, well, what was it like in the days of Noah, right? I mean, that's the first thing I would begin to think. If it was just as in the days of Noah, you begin to look at how was it in the days of Noah? You say, what was going on in those days? It was pretty bad. So we began to look at it. If you want to know about the whole Noah thing, if you look at Genesis chapter 6, it will tell you, but we're not going to read all that today. But one scripture says, and God looked upon the world and saw how degenerate, debased, and vicious it was, for all humanity had corrupted their way upon the earth and lost their true direction. That's, you know, there are many, many Christians on this earth, but by and large, say percentage-wise, the vast majority of this planet has completely lost their direction, okay, and are going in the wrong direction. They're facing the judgment of God. It's going to be bad, and it's going to be terrible in the end. Let's look at Genesis chapter 7, verse 5. Genesis 7, 5. It says, Genesis 7, 5 says, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Okay? That, you know, you could spend a whole lot of time just on that scripture. You know, I was reading and studying the other day, and I forget what book I was reading. I got a program, a Bible soft program, and it's got hundreds and hundreds of references and commentaries and old studies and stuff. I could never read them all, but I was reading about this one guy, this one pastor who started this church. I think he was a pastor somewhere else, but he came and he started to took over this church in Boston, and he opened up the book of Romans on his first day that he was there, and he began to teach on the first verse of Romans. That's all he talked about was the first, and he went on all day. The next Sunday, all he talked about and preached about was the second verse of Romans. And he went through like that through the Bible. I mean, just through Romans. And it talked about how long it took him to just finish, you know, his teaching there. But he talked for a whole Sunday. He would just talk about that one verse. And you can still never even mine all the treasures out of just the one verse, you know. But what Noah did was an incredible, incredible thing. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Amen. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Now, this is what we call the Faith Hall of Fame. Okay, chapter 11, Hebrews, the Faith Hall of Fame. How'd you like to be in the Faith Hall of Fame? Amen. I watch baseball and certain guys get into the Hall of Fame, but man, it ain't like this Hall of Fame. You know, my favorite team is the St. Louis Cardinals, and you know, they don't always win the pennant or the World Series, but they're always in it, man. They got a good team, and I like it. But it says in verse 11, Hebrews 11, verse 7, you know, Noah is in the Hall of Fame. And there's women in there too, okay? It's not just restricted to men. Your faith, it don't matter who you are, big, tall, little, whatever, male, female, you know, whatever. It's your faith. It's not your gender or your height or your good looks. It's your faith, amen? But in verse 7 it says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, okay, get this, in holy fear. Okay, there's a big problem with the fear of God these days. That's, you know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? That's why so much is going on today, because there is no fear of God. If people really feared God and that they don't believe that they're going to be held accountable for their lives and their actions. You understand? That's why people do what they're doing. They don't believe one minute that they're ever going to be held accountable for what they're doing. Boy, are they in for a big, terrible, terrible surprise. Because you are going to be. There's God. He's the judge of everybody and everything, and he knows everything that's happened. And we are going to be held accountable. Okay? And that's why there's no fear of God, and that's why people are doing what they're doing today. So fear is a good thing. Fear of the Lord. Okay, I'll rephrase that. Fear of the Lord. Because all through the Bible it says, fear not, fear not, fear not. I mean, it says it probably hundreds of times. Okay? Fear is the opposite of faith. And it's usually says something bad is going to happen to you. You know, it's from the devil or whatever. Okay? But the fear of the Lord, that's a reverence and respect and a holy, awesome, you know, attitude towards God. That's the fear he's talking about. You know, that you don't do things. See, what it does, it restrains you. It restrains you from doing evil and doing bad things. Okay? Because it's your respect and awe and reverence of God. I'm not going to do that because, you know, God would not approve of that. That'd be wrong, right? And it would be a sin. See, it's, that restrains you from doing that because you love God and you fear him. Amen? So that love, the fear of God is a good thing. And I'll read that again. It says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built this ark. Okay? To save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Now, in one commentary, the Life Application Commentary, I like to read a lot of what other people think about different scriptures and their commentary, and people that got a whole lot more, you know, knowledge of things, scholars and that. And this one commentary said, that God warned Noah about coming events that the world had never seen. This is why this is such a big deal with Noah. God warned that it would rain, and it had never really rained before. Okay? Up to that time, as you read the Bible, the earth was watered. Just it would come up in the morning, the dew and all this stuff, and it watered the earth. I don't know that it had ever been a rainstorm to that point in history. Okay? You understand? So this is like blowing people's minds. And Noah's going, like, what are you talking about, Lord? You know? It's going to rain. And then God also promised to bring animals to Noah. Right? Now the story, I said, is found in Genesis 6. But come on, you know? God is telling him to build this huge boat. This isn't like some little canoe deal. This is going to be huge. And it had never rained. Right? And what? I'm going to bring all these animals to the big ark, you know? But here's the deal. Noah believed God. Okay, this might be an instance where you're just blindly trusting God. You know what I'm saying? But as us today, as the church in the last days, we can look back through the Bible, and all of these things are there for a reason. Somebody says, I don't bother with the Old Testament, you know? Baloney. All that stuff in the Old Testament is some of it was types and shadow, and it's going to have a version of it in the New Testament in our lives. Okay, Jesus referred to Noah. Somebody says, I don't believe that story. Well, then is Jesus a liar? Jesus said it will be just as in the days of Noah. Okay, so Noah believed God. He was moved with godly fear. See, that godly fear really caused him to obey God, right? Because he has this awesome reverence and respect for God and this godly fear, this reverence of God. I'll dare not disobey God. I'm going to do what he says, right? So with godly fear, and he prepared the ark, and he followed God's instruction plans right to the T. It wasn't just any boat. He had to build it the way God told him to. Noah's story involves not one, but two great tragic floods. The world that in Noah's days was flooded with evil. You know, people, you don't realize this, but one day giants walked this earth. People, that seems like a science fiction weird deal. Back then, there was a Nephilim. These giants, they were fallen angels, had relations with human women. The offspring was called Nephilim, and they were giants. Okay? You go, oh, come on, Pastor Rick. Well, remember, everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. Huh? The man was a giant. Okay? And there was giants in the land. There was evil. These giants were so evil that you can't... They say they weren't even human. They had certain human attributes, I guess you'd say. They had some human DNA, but the rest of their DNA was not human. Okay? They were not God's creation on this earth. They could not even be saved. Okay? You know, you could go into this. I've studied a whole lot about this, and Claudia has too. It's a whole wild deal. But some of this stuff is going to happen today, because Jesus said it will be just as in the days of Noah. But there was this flood of evil, okay? The number of those who remembered the creation of God, okay? The ones who remembered the stories about God and how good God was and of creation, perfection, and love had dwindled down to one family. There was only one family left that even regarded God and feared Him and loved Him out of all the people on the earth. They were so evil, they were just running wild, doing whatever they wanted at. And they weren't raising their kids up in the Lord. They weren't teaching them the stories of the Bible. They didn't regard God. There was no fear of God. It was, the Bible says it was just nothing but evil all the time. That's even their thoughts. It was just evil all the time. There was nothing there to redeem anymore. You know, once sin has run its course, and God is a very patient God, and it starts out and people do all this evil stuff and sin, He'll let it run its course. He'll warn them. He'll send prophets and warn the people to repent and change. If you don't, this disaster is going to happen. This judgment is going to happen. And they just ignore. They'll kill the prophet a lot of times. The God's man who comes to warn them, they'll kill him, see, many times. And once sin has run its course, there's nothing left but judgment. You understand? And that's kind of what's happening today. Sin is running its course, man, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. This might be getting off a little bit, and I want to scare you, but we're right on the verge of a technological breakthroughs that are going to blow people's minds. And people have no idea what's going to happen in the future. They're talking about it openly on the internet, in the news. I mean, they're going to be putting chips in people's heads. I kicked on the internet the other day and looked at one news program. It said that many of these scientists and people believe that the first person to live to be 1,000 years old is already alive today. That was on the headlines on the news. Huh? What you talk about, man? Right? I mean, you're going to have to do some strange things to people to get them to live be 1,000 years old. You barely can make it over 100. But I'm saying things are going to happen where people are going to be... It's all about control, the whole world system and all that's going on. But it's going to be way past what you're... You know, if you're not paying attention, you know nothing about it. And you'll be just like in the days of Noah. Boom. You'll be gone, man. You'll be swept away in the flood. And you won't know. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray, watch and pray. You don't want to be playing around. You want to be as close to the Lord as you can get, man. You want to be praying and seeking God and repenting and getting, be ready, be ready. Be like one of the virgins that, you know, the 10 virgins, 5 had the oil in their lamps and 5 didn't. The 5 that had the oil went to the feast and the wedding or whatever it was. The others were gone. They just lost out. Well, you don't want to be like them. You want to stay, you know, cleansing, get out of the world system and put your trust. That's why trust is so big. You must, your trust can't be in the world system. Okay? The Revelation talks about Babylon, mystery Babylon. That's the religion of the world. Your trust must be in God. Okay? No matter what happens, you're trusting God for your life, for your provisions, for what you're going to eat, where, and your shelter, right? I understand you got to work and do things, but I looked at it like God was providing that for me. He opened the door to get me into that job. I give Him credit for it. Amen? It's not because I'm so great and so, you know. No, it's God. I trust in Him, and He blesses me and opens doors, right? And He causes you to be blessed and to prosper. Keep your faith in it. That's why it's so important that we trust God and not this world system. Okay? In this commentary about Noah. See, Noah's one of these deals we can preach on for every Sunday for 6 months. It's just incredible. But Noah believed God and moved with godly fear and prepared an ark following God's construction plans. Noah's story involves not one but two great tragic floods, the flood of evil and God's response, and of course the flood of the water. God's response to the severe situation of the earth, that there was only one family left. You know what his response was? He told Noah to build. He gave people 120 years is what he did. He made this decision. He gives them 120 years. And you know, Noah preached to these people too and warned them. He gave them a 120-year-long last chance, during which he had Noah build a graphic illustration of the judgment to come. Godly fear refers to Noah's love and obedience. Out of reverence and respect for God, Noah trusted God, trusted that God would do as he said. Okay? Just like Abraham, without hope, believed God anyway, right? That even though he's 100, his wife's 90, they're going to have this baby. Noah trusted that God would do as he said, that is, bring the flood, and so he obeyed God's seemingly outrageous plan to build a ship. There's nothing like a huge boat on dry land to make a point. I mean, is this getting people's attention? It had never rained before. There was no thunderstorms, no downpours. And this nut, Noah, because God told him so, you know, is building this huge ship right out on dry land. And can you imagine how the people mocked him and made fun of him? Yeah, but he trusted God. The trust gets to be a big word after a while. I trusted God. You know, it's like the word believe. I believe God, or I have faith in God, right? That word trust is right there with those words. Same thing. If you look the word up, if you look the word trust up and see what it means, you'll see it means to believe, you know, and have faith and whatever. You know, the ark did accomplish the saving of his household. Noah's faith condemned the world because it illustrated what the people lacked. Those without faith faced God's judgments. Okay? Those with faith were saved. While Noah believed God and was willing to sacrifice his reputation, okay? You can't be worried about your reputation, folks. Well, I always say, hey, I didn't have a reputation to start with, so. Honestly, I was a black sheep of my family. I was always in trouble, you know. I was the last one that they would ever believe that, you know what I mean? Yep. When I told people I got saved, they just were stunned in dead silence. They didn't know what to say. I mean, that was always my response. You call up my sisters or something. Oh, I got saved. I received Jesus, my Savior. Dead silence. Yep. Nobody knew what to say because they knew me the way I was before. Now I'm calling up saying I'm a Christian. I got saved. They thought, oh brother, what has he got into now? You know. You know, he was willing to sacrifice his reputation and public standing. See. Like any of these guys running from office up here, they go, oh, I believe in Jesus and miracles and all this. They are going to crucify. And if they say they pray, they'll say, oh, this guy thinks he talks to God or God talks to him. That's the way they put it in the news. I've heard it over and over again. If you say you believe in prayer and this and that, they'll say, oh, yeah, this guy thinks God talks to him. Thanks, yeah. Man, I hope God talks to him, you know. But you hear what I'm saying? Well, God spoke to me and it led me to go this way. Then they go, oh, so you think God talks to you, huh? Yeah. Yeah. So you're afraid to say anything about your faith or Christianity. But so you don't, if you're going to follow God, you've got to be sort of a different breed. You understand? Was Noah sort of a different breed? Yeah. He was different, man. So he was willing to sacrifice his reputation, public standing. People around him were only interested in pursuing their own selfish lusts. As a result, Noah became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. You know, Noah is the first person in the Bible to be called righteous. Noah, the first person in the Bible to be called righteous. Genesis 6:9. To say that Noah was righteous and blameless does not mean that he never sinned. The Bible records one of his sins in Genesis 9:20. Rather, it means that he wholeheartedly loved and obeyed God. For a lifetime, Noah walked step by step in faith as a living example to his generation and future generations. Okay? See, Noah experienced rejection. I have a lot of experience with rejection. because he was different from his neighbors. Okay? You've got to see, a lot of people want to get saved in Jesus, but they don't want to, you know, they want to stay with the same crowd they've been running with, you know? You know what I'm saying? And still, they don't want to be rejected. They don't want to be, you know, they kind of like want to hide their Christianity and their confession because they know that's not going to go over real big with the crowd they're running with. Right. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When I got saved, man, it was like I was alone because everybody that I knew and ran with was big time sinners like I was, you know. It was a wrong crowd. And it was just cut off, just wham.
Yep.
Boy, I mean, I felt like, you know, I was out in the desert, boy, way out in the desert alone. There was nobody, you know. And immediately, within so many weeks, my wife filed for a divorce. Okay? And it just kind of got worse from there. But the thing that I had was the Jesus. Amen? I had the fact that I was born again and saved, and I knew it because the whole born-again experience was so traumatic. It was so tremendous. It was beyond anything I could ever imagine, you know? I mean, it was like night and day. It was just hit between the eyes with a bolt of lightning, man. I mean, it just, my whole life changed, and I knew inside, man, I was just a different person, and was freaking my wife out and freaking everybody out because they knew me, you know. All I wanted to talk about was Jesus and go to church, you know. It's just an amazing thing. So, see, you've got to, if you're worried about that, then, you know, you got a problem because, see, that's going to totally cramp your whole Christian lifestyle. You're going to be afraid to say anything or act like a Christian or do the things that a Christian should be doing because you just want to be buddies with everybody in the world, right? But if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to be different. That's just the fact of life. I mean, you can't get around it, man. You are going to be a little different. Noah was different, wasn't he? He didn't care if the people mocked him, you know? Like, you know, you want to say a little prayer before you eat lunch or this or that. People, who's that nut job over there, you know? Right? Hey, you're going to be a little different. Don't be ashamed of your faith, right? You're a Christian. You are different. And you just got to understand that I knew it immediately. Nobody wanted to hear anything I had to say. They thought, what on earth happened to you, man? You know, you really gone off the deep end now. See, God commanded him to build a huge boat in the middle of dry land.
Yeah.
See, although God's command seemed foolish, Noah obeyed. Noah's obedience made him appear strange to his neighbors. Right? Yeah, I bet it did. Just as the new beliefs of Jewish Christians undoubtedly made them stand out. As you obey God, don't be surprised if others regard you as different. Your obedience makes their disobedience stand out. Okay? There's been a lot of times where people just being around me, I don't have to say a word. It'd be at work, you know, when I was working. I wouldn't have to say a word. But then one of them would cuss real bad or something. Like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, and walk. Like, hey, nobody ever said that to me before I was saved. You know what I mean? It's like, and I would never say a word. It's just they knew, being around you, you were different. Everything coming out of your mouth was not trash and dirt and profanity. You understand? They just knew something was different about you. And like, I would never say a word. If someone would tell a cuss or something, oh, I'm sorry, you know, or blah, blah, and walk away or something. It's like, well, I never said anything, you know, but I'm not trying you to come to my church, you know, or save you right now. But they just know you're different, okay, because you are different. You need to understand, if you really love God and you're born again, you are going to be different. If you really trust God and you don't care what the rest of the world thinks. It just comes with the territory, see? You can't just flow with the world and do the things of the world, act and live and talk and whatever like the rest of the world, okay? You can't do that. You're a Christian and God does, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. We're on this planet, but we're born again and we're serving our Lord, amen? Our home is, we're citizens of kingdom of God. That's our home, you know, just like we're aliens visiting this planet, right? God will help you. He'll give you the strength to do what you need to do. The early believers could learn this lesson from Noah, requiring no physical evidence of what was coming. He simply trusted God and obeyed, okay? Remember Jesus, the first scripture says, trust in God, trust also in me. Trust is this huge, huge thing. And that's what the name of the sermon is, why we should trust God, okay? For Noah, obedience meant a long-term commitment to God's will in the face of scorn and ridicule, okay? You must go against the flow if you're going to follow the Lord, okay? You can't go with the flow of this world. If you do, you're going to be swept away, okay, in the judgment and things. You're going to be lost, okay? I try to give you the real deal when you come to church. Amen? Amen? You just don't want to hear a bunch of stuff that's going to make you feel good and go home. And
yeah, you need to hear the
real deal, okay? And we need to see what's going on, you know, with and the flow. If you decide, I just don't want to stand out. I just want to be friends with everybody. Just go with the flow of this world. You're going to have some problems there. You cannot do it. You got to see how Noah did not go with the flow, did he?
No.
Absolutely not. He trusted God, and he was willing for 120 years to get laughed at and mocked and scorned, and he trusted God. He just blindly trusted God on this deal, okay? And that was the thing. He feared God, and he trusted God. He didn't know what a rainstorm was. He didn't know what a flood was. There never had been one in history. Never. Well, nobody ever saw one. But I'll tell you what, baby, when them rain came and he slammed them doors shut, was he glad he trusted God? Oh, wow, man. Can you imagine the panic and the terrible stuff that was going on with the people of the world, you know? You've got to have a different spirit than the world has. You understand? You cannot have the same spirit and go with the flow of the world, okay? Or you'll get, like I said, you'll get swept away in the judgment and go to destruction. You cannot have it both ways. Okay? That's why Jesus said, pray and watch that you can escape the things that are about to happen on this earth. You know, it reminded me of back in Numbers chapter 14. Let's look at that. Numbers, what do we got? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers, chapter 14. You know, this is, this whole story is just incredible here, this Numbers 13 and 14, where they are to scout out the land, the promised land, you know, and they go and they come back. There's what, 12 of these spies or whatever, and they come back and, man, the land is rich. They came back carrying one cluster of grapes. It took two men to carry it on a pole. I mean, it's the land of milk and honey. And not only that, there was cities, there was houses, there was all this stuff that
It would just be theirs if they went and took it. In other words, they didn't even build these cities. They didn't build these houses and places, you know. It was fabulously rich, you know, agriculturally. It was just a rich land of milk and honey. But there's giants in the land. Remember me telling you there really was giants running around? He says, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Okay, there really was giants. Yeah, I can see how they might be afraid, right? We're going to go in and take that land. These guys are 20 foot tall. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, come on. You expect us to fight these guys? But this is when the do you really trust God comes in. And there's a lot of things that people don't know about when you tell that story, is that before that, God had told the Hebrews that he was sending an angel before them when they go into the promised land. Okay? Just that knowledge alone that there would be an angel go before us. Hey, I don't care how big giants are, how big their army is, one angel can wipe them all out, man. One angel is way more powerful than anything that we even can conceive of. Okay? One angel can just go and wipe out, you know, a whole army of 100,000, 200,000 people. He just, they're dead, you know. There's an angel going before us. A lot of people don't talk about that when they talk about this thing. But anyway, all of them were upset. The 10 said, oh, you know, we can't do it, blah, blah, blah. There was two guys said we can do it, Joshua and Caleb. In verse 13, verse 30, it says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. So he's coming from the perspective that God is before us. God is with us. He's told us to do it. Besides that, we got an angel out in front. He is going to give us the battle. See, there's a lot to this thing, because in our day, in our time, there's giants in our lives. Okay? Demonic, there's obstacles, there's barriers in our lives. There's like mountains in our lives that we think is impossible to overcome, but they can be overcome if you trust God, okay? Even though back then it looked impossible to beat these giants, see, in types and shadows, that's telling you today, you know, there's giants that are opposed to us, spiritually speaking, you know? But we can overcome them, amen? The blood of Jesus is greater than in the name of Jesus, right? We can overcome all of these obstacles and these giants in our lives. But it goes on, and then they actually wanted to stone these people and all this kind of stuff, the ones that wanted to try to take it. But then in Numbers 14:20, let's start with verse 17. Numbers 14:17 says, now may the Lord's strength be displayed just as you have declared. Verse 18, the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children. Oh, that is not the scripture. I'm reading the wrong one. I'm sorry. Verse 20 is the one I wanted. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you ask. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of the men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. In other words, they did not obey God. They did not trust God. He sees that as contempt. God sees, if you don't believe God, you don't trust him, he sees that as contempt towards him. Okay? Well, you're believing something else more than you're believing God, right? He doesn't go with that. If you're refusing to obey him out of fear that, you know, what the devil said or what the devil's going to do, he sees that as absolute contempt. He says, look, I'm God. I'm the creator. I control everything. I have all power, all might. I know everything. I'm everywhere all the time. And you're not going to obey me because of this puny little devil here? You see? You're not trusting me and you're not believing in me. You're not reverencing me as God. He sees that as contempt.
He got them out of Egypt through all these miracles, and he's got them right here at the promised land. He says, go take it. And they won't do it because they're afraid, because they're giants in land. He's going, hey, what's the deal, man? I showed you. I delivered you from the great Egyptian army. I flooded a man in the ocean, in the, you know, the chariots and everybody. I did all these things and freed you from this mighty Pharaoh, right? And I fed you in the desert, you know, and I protected you, did all these things, and now you're afraid. You won't go in and take the land, and I'm giving it to you. All you got to do is go in, and you'll just slaughter the people, and there's an angel going before you. He sees that as contempt. What a weak, wishy-washy bunch of people, right? Huh? Really? I mean, it's easy for us now to look back and see this, right? Because it's recorded in history. We can see, okay? But at the time, they didn't have all the knowledge we had. But the fact remains, where's the trust here? Where's the trust of God? Amen? And then he says in verse 24, but because my servant Caleb has a different what? Spirit. And follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. And I said earlier, I says, you got to have a different spirit than the spirit of the world. You don't go with the flow of the world. They're going to be just like these people who perished out in the desert. You got to have a different spirit, man, if you're going to go with God and be saved in the end. You're going to be different. You can't go with the flow. Can you see that? Joshua and Caleb didn't go with the flow. They said, hey, let's go take the land, man. We can take it. The God is going before us, right? See, they had a different spirit because they trusted God and they feared him. Amen? Amen. And so you have to understand that as a Christian, you cannot go with the flow of this world. You've got to have a different spirit. Amen? Amen. Remember, it's your actions that will show if, in fact, you really do trust and believe in God. You can't just say, I do. You get it? You've got to live it, man. Your life must demonstrate it, that you, in fact, I do trust God. You know, I'm not going with the flow of the world, because they're going to be, like in Noah's day, they're going to be swept away in the waters, in the judgment, God's punishment and anger. Or, in this case, with the promised land, they're going to die out in the desert, okay? It's only the ones that trust God, that have that different spirit, okay, that refuse to go with the flow, that are going to be saved, you see? That's why the Bible says that, you know, the gates to hell are wide, man, right? The gates to hell are wide, but the gate to heaven, so to speak, is a narrow, it's narrow. And only those that have that different spirit, that refuse to go with the flow, are going to go in there. Okay, you're going to be, the rest, it's like you're in a canoe, man, and you're paddling upstream against the current, you know, and everybody else is, you know, the current's going that way, but you're trying to go this way, you know. You understand it may not always be easy. You've got to trust God and believe, amen. You've got to walk that walk of faith in your life and trust God, regardless of what happens and how. It's going to be so critical in these last days if things start happening the way a lot of people say they are, because it's going to look really bad. And people are going to fall apart from anxiety, from fear. Hey, you got to understand, as a Christian, where are you putting your faith and trust at in the first place, right? On the rock, right? Jesus is the rock, the Word of God. His promises, here's the thing, like with Abraham, he trusted God. It says, with no hope and beyond hope, or however it says it, he trusted in God anyway, right? Why? If you read through the scripture, he says, because he believed that God had the power to do it, okay? He couldn't understand it with his mind. He's 100, she's 90, we're going to have this miracle baby, okay? But he believed God anyway, because he reasoned and believed that God had the power to do it, right? It's in the nature and natural life of a human being, that's not possible. But now with God, everything's impossible, right? And the Bible also says, if you believe and have faith, everything is possible, right? Nothing is impossible if you believe, see?
So that's why believing and trusting God is so important, because, hey, he's talking about you, man. If you believe, nothing's impossible, right? So if you trust in God, see, your faith and your trust and all your hope cannot be wrapped up in this world system, okay? It's got to be, you know, if it all goes down, I'm still clinging to God is my source. I understand he got me these jobs and caused me to have more than enough, right? But we were talking about this today. What if everything crashes and you lose all your pensions, you lose this, you lose that, there's no more income. What are you going to do now, you know? God still promised he would provide for me, right? That's who I'm looking to. The people in the world that are only looking to some kind of a government check or this or that are going to be barely disappointed. It's going to be hard, man, because all their hope and dreams are all shot. How am I going to live? See, panic. But if your hope and trust is in God, you've got a solid rock to stand on. Remember old Elijah, he was out there running from his life. He thought, oh, Jezebel or somebody was going to get him. Jezebel's a whole other story, but people were more afraid of her than the king and everybody else. He went out there and lived by a little creek, and God flew in. He had crows or ravens fly in food for him every day, pieces of meat and bread. See, he can take care of you. He'll command the animals to bring, you know, he'll have a raven fly in and drop off a piece of bread on your window, right? See, this is the problem with many people today. They say they believe, but their actions don't prove it out, okay? I don't see anywhere in there where you got to do crazy, outrageous things to prove that you love Jesus, you know. But just living your quiet Christian life, obeying God, you know, just make sure, you know, where is my trust? Amen? Am I trusting in the Lord? Or, you know, you got to be careful about the world. Because, see, here's the thing. We're born into it. We were raised up in it. And it's just a natural thing. It's like, here I am. I'm born into this thing. And you're caught up in it, and you don't even realize you are. I asked God. I said, oh, God, please show me things you want out of my life. And I felt like the Lord was saying, well, I can't show you at all at one time, man. I'd probably kill you. You know what I mean? And I've been a Christian for 40 years. And it's like I said, if you work in a coal mine, there's no way you're going to come out of there without any black stuff on you, right? And if you're living and raised in this world system, believe me, it's probably got into your lifestyle, right? But you can pray, and God can start saying, here, I want you to remove this, you know, whatever. This shouldn't be in your life. This is something you're doing. Stop doing that. You know what I mean? And just take it a step at a time, day by day. Listen to the Lord. The Holy Spirit will show you things. Amen? Amen. Because, see, that whole world system, we grew up in it, and we've got to be careful about it. Okay? This world system is not God's system. Okay? And so, in Genesis 7:23, it says, God destroyed or blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the earth, man and animals, and the creeping things and the birds of the heavens were destroyed or blotted out from the land. Only Noah remained alive and those who were with him in the ark. You know, that one thing it does show me is that God will save you regardless if the whole rest of the world has gone sour. Amen? You know, God regretted that he grieved and regretted that he had ever made the earth and the human race when he came up to that time, you know? And he had thought about just doing away with the whole thing, but he couldn't because of Noah. Because, see, he'll keep his word for you if you're the only one. If you're the only one in your family, if you're the only one in where you work, right? If you're only the only one in the state of Oregon that loves Jesus and wants to follow him, he'll save you. You know what I mean? You're going to go to heaven and be with the Lord. Let's just read this one scripture. We'll read this section. Matthew 24, and then we'll stop. Matthew 24, It's funny, you know, and I keep thinking, oh, what's the Lord want me to talk about, or what are this, you know, the words. It's hard to get it out of my mind, you know. The end times, repentance, judgment, you know, things that are coming upon the earth, okay? It's hard to get away from that because it's so, the time we're living in, it could be so close. We do not know the time or the hour. That's just, you know, we know where we are going to pass away into the next life, but we don't know when. And see, the thing is, in Matthew 24, verse 37, well, in verse 36, it says, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And then Jesus says in verse 37, as it was in the days of Noah. Okay? Think about Noah. You know, just as in the days of Noah. You could study about what was going on back then for a long time. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. In other words, man, the vast majority, nobody had a clue. And it's just like the world today. It's like, don't talk to me about that stuff. Take that cross down off the wall. Get rid of those Ten Commandments. Don't you let that children pray. Oh, that little girl there, she's got a cross on her neck. Kick her out of school. Send her home. You understand? That's what the world's attitude is today. The world system. Amen? That's why so many people are raising their kids and homeschooling them and things like that. Because the system is rigged, man. The system is rigged against you and against your children. Okay? That's why, you know, a lot of children have to go to public school. That's just the facts. But are you teaching them at home? Okay? I've read many of like books and stuff or articles where somebody said, I just lied on the test so I could pass it. You know what I mean? I didn't believe, you know, the evolution of the slime crawling out of the swamp. I just said what I knew they wanted to say to pass the test. Okay? But I knew better because I read my Bible. I went to church, and my mom and dad, they taught me about God and the true things of God. Amen? There's a movie out. What was the name of that movie where that kid went to college? Huh?
God's Not Dead.
God's Not Dead. I mean, the first day of class in the university, this guy, I'm not sure what the class was. It was on something that had to do with humanity in the world, or I don't know what. But he handed out these farms, and he wanted everybody to sign the farm. It said,
God is dead,
and sign it. He says, that way we don't even have to cover the issues and get rid of that argument. And one kid, remember I said, you got to have a different spirit, man. You can't go with the flow. That one kid refused to sign that paper. You know, he refused to violate his beliefs and his principles, right? Even in the face of ridicule, because and I know this, I've heard enough and I read enough that many times in the universities today, if you don't go with what the professor says, you are going to get flat run through the meat grinder, man. Especially if it's a very liberal, whatever, and you're a conservative Christian, and you any way, shape, or form stand up for your beliefs, it can be a bad deal for you. You know, you'd be lucky to pass the class. You know, that's why I think a lot of them just go along. Don't open your mouth. Just answer the questions, even if you don't believe it, to get through the class, you know. I wouldn't think in Christian universities or things that it would be like that. And they're not all like that, but someone I know, you hear it, you read it almost daily in the paper or the internet, you know, what's going on in some of the universities. You know, God is not controlling the universities. The world system is, you know.
you could get off on that big time. But you understand, you know, you're going to be challenged. You can't go with the flow. You've got to be of a different spirit. And that's why that movie was so great. And in the end, I don't remember the end, how it ended. Did that guy get saved, or that professor? He did get saved?
All the kids in the class, they stood up
for the Lord. It was a great movie. I mean, this guy was put on the line. And it would be easy to just get out of all the trouble and condemnation, just go along, sign the paper and whatever, right? Go with the flow. But the kid didn't do it, you know? Praise God. So, you know. But anyway, Jesus says here, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away, right? Marrying, working, partying, this is whatever the people do in the world. They were all just doing it. They didn't have a clue. And then, bang, it's like this trap snaps shut. You know, the little rabbit's going along, and he's eating grass, and he's doing things, and life is wonderful. And then all of a sudden, bang, he steps in a trap, and he's caught, and it's over with, see? It's kind of what's going to happen. Then it says, that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Amen? Two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left, and two women will be grinding with his handmill, and one will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch. Don't be a slacker, man. There is too much at stake. Too much at stake. And every day the devil's going to try to pull you away into some junk. Amen? Keep reading your Bible. Keep talking about God. Keep coming to church. Keep praying. Amen? Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Amen? And we could read on. We'll stop there for now. Just remember, Jesus is saying, it will be just as in the days of Noah. So if you study that and you look at those people, how, boom, it was just all over with. They had no clue to what was coming. And the people today don't either. Unless you're a Christian, you're studying your Bible, you're listening to Jesus and taking seriously the warnings. Amen? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. That's two good words, right? Watch and pray. Amen. All right, we'll continue on next week. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody need prayer this morning? Jesus is still healing. He hadn't gone out of the healing business. Amen. Anybody have any good testimonies they want to share this morning before we go? Anybody have any good testimonies? Nope. God is good. Amen.
God is good.
The answer is all the time. If I say God is good, amen, you just say all the time. All right, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for this message today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the Word of God, and the examples of your Holy Scriptures, how they warn us, and we can see and prepare and have wisdom and understanding of the times that we live in. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.